Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
We begin our service today. I want you to stop and think about the words that we're singing. I especially think about the first song that we're doing, We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. Let's think about the meaning of the words. What do they mean to us? And in Hebrews 13:15, it tells us that through Jesus, continually offered to give God a sacrifice of praise. What is our sacrifice of praise? With them coming out of our mouth, how many times do we say something that we maybe shouldn't say? And it's like we need to stop and think. And this song just reminded me of it. And as I was looking at the scriptures, I just couldn't help but feel led to say something about so many times we neglect to really think about what the words are telling us. So since you're already standing, I don't need to tell you to stand, but just be joyful in our singing to the Lord.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We offer up to
Thank you, guys. Good morning. Man, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone. I hope you guys are as excited as I am to be here this morning, even as the colder weather is slowly starting to set in and the rain and everything else. You know, I just want to reiterate something that was said this morning during announcements. Friday is Veterans Day, so don't forget to take a moment and thank someone who took the time to serve our great nation throughout this next week. And we will be honoring our veterans, of course, next weekend as well. So I look forward to that. I want to welcome those who are joining us online and on the radio, and of course, our guests here this morning. And before we go too far into the message this morning, let's take a minute and let's pray and go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have and the freedoms we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we know many of our brothers and sisters around the world do not have that luxury. They do not have that ability to come together like this and to worship you so openly. Father, I ask that this morning you open our hearts and our minds to help us learn more about you. And Father, that even the hardest of hearts may be softened, and that we may grow in knowledge and wisdom, and not just be something that lasts here for a moment this morning, but something that we carry with us throughout the week and throughout our lives. Father, I say, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about how God shapes us, how God molds us, how God can use different situations in our lives to help us become more like Christ, to become more the person that he has called us to, and to draw us closer to him. You know, we even looked at how other people's sins affect our lives, and when others make mistakes, how that can affect us. And we talked about how our sins can affect other people's lives and how it can even affect our own lives when we do that. You know, when I was growing up, there was a group of young men that were messing around and driving way too fast. Just like many of us guys standing here probably did a time or two when we were younger and maybe even a little older. But they kept taking this car to extreme speeds. And eventually, the driver lost control. And there was a young man inside the car that was killed in that accident. It was heartbreaking. And as heartbreaking as it is, if we're honest with ourselves, we understand that choices have consequences. And many of us guys, like I said, that could have been any of us that were driving that car that day at that age. You know, it's the same thing when we live beyond our means. When we constantly spend money, we're constantly putting everything on credit cards, we're constantly borrowing, we're constantly building this debt. Eventually, we get to the point that we can no longer pay back that debt, and we actually end up losing everything that we had acquired. We understand if we do that for too long, there is consequences for what we do. It's like the person who constantly cheats on their spouse, and eventually their spouse leaves them, and they end up single again. It's not really a shocker. It catches up. Or if you eat McDonald's or fast food and live an extremely unhealthy life, and you end up with a heart attack, it's sad, but it's not that shocking, is it? When we constantly do things we know we shouldn't, there's consequences behind them. And with all of these different circumstances, we may not like what happens. The consequences of our sins and mistakes are never very pleasant. But we have a basic understanding of when we do bad things, there's going to be consequences often.
We may try to slip through, but there is consequences. Where we often run into trouble is where we really find ourselves questioning, even at times find ourselves questioning God, is when bad things happen to good people. We see the person who's lived a great life, a well-respected person with a great family, that person who's always lived a healthy lifestyle, yet suddenly passes away from a heart attack, leaving behind their family. We can find ourselves in those moments asking why. Or how about that person who's worked hard their entire life, given faithfully to the church and their community, lived an example of what it means to be a good Christian, only to retire and suddenly have the stock market crash and being swindled out of their retirement and having to return back to work. Or even worse, when someone loses a child or a loved one to cancer. These are things that we often find beyond our ability to comprehend. And these are the things that we get ourselves asking, why, God? Why? They did nothing to deserve any of this. They did nothing bad. They were good people who loved Jesus, but they were facing trials and tribulations that just couldn't understand. And these aren't little things either. These are the kind of things that can make us question God. You know, when bad things happen to bad people, what is our normal comment? What goes around comes around. Or we say things like, they finally got what they deserved. But when bad things happen to good people, we can hardly understand why. Have you ever been through this unexplained kind of suffering? Where you just can't understand why you're facing what you're facing at that moment. And for some of you, you may be in the middle of that today. You feel like there's days your faith is stretched to the utmost limit, to the point that we just feel we can't take it anymore. We can wrap our heads around suffering, you know, when we do something bad. We can understand when someone does something that they shouldn't, and that they have to pay a price often. Sometimes God needs to correct us a little bit, like any good parent would do. But the suffering for no reason, to go through trials for no reason, can really push us on that why question. Sometimes I think we even understand that we will suffer for doing the right thing. You know, standing up for what we believe. We may suffer for standing up for our faith, for standing firm on the word of God. The world doesn't necessarily like that, and we're going to suffer some kind of persecution. The Bible reminds us in 1 Peter 4:14, if you're ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the spirit of the glory and of God rests on you. Christians around the world suffer for standing up for what they believe. There was a Christian baker not too long ago that got in trouble for not baking a cake for a gay wedding. There was a coach who was fired recently for praying at the end of the football game. We have Christian brothers and sisters that are killed for their faith around the world. In January of this year, Open Doors International released their annual World Watch list, and there was a list of the 50 top countries where Christians face the most persecution. And for the first time in years, Afghanistan took the number one spot. Took it away from North Korea, which has held the top of that list for years. Since the Taliban takeover in August of 2021, Christian minorities in Afghanistan have been fleeing or having to go into hiding. Those whose names are known by the Taliban are hunted down, and if their men have been discovered to be Christians, they're executed on the spot. If they're women, they may escape execution, but they face a life almost worse. Of slavery and imprisonment, and much worse things. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in having that name. We are to praise God in the middle of the suffering. In 1 Peter 4:19, it tells us, so then let those who suffer according to God's will entrust themselves to a faithful Creator, while doing what is good. We are called to trust God in the middle of whatever suffering we face. And this is where we often think about how other people's sin affects our lives. Our persecution that we face is often due to others' sins. But that third kind of suffering, the one that doesn't have anything to do with our choices or even necessarily others' choices, it's that kind of suffering that we have a hard time coming to terms with. It's when we seem to suffer for no reason. You know, when a natural disaster strikes and we don't understand why that had to happen to our family, our community, our area. When accidental deaths for no apparent reasons. When we lose a loved one way before we feel we should have lost them. When diseases seem to happen out of the blue, the doctor tells us it's cancer or many other things. And we just doesn't seem to make sense. And suddenly you're stuck with a handicap you never even imagined your life to be, taking a whole new direction and a change. We find ourselves asking God, why me? Why them? Why my family? There just appears to be a lot of senseless evil and suffering inside of our world. Have anybody ever noticed that? A ton of it. Where tragedies just seem to strike at complete random, without respect of how much faith someone might have. I'm not talking about moments of pain and suffering. I'm talking about that deep cutting to the very soul, pain and suffering. Not just moments of inconvenience that last a couple days, a couple weeks. We're talking about stuff that lasts a long time. It's that kind of pain and suffering that can really push us to the brink, where we find ourselves asking, does God really care? If God knows and cares so much, why doesn't he do something about it? I think we understand when people get to that point why they might be able to ask those questions. Yet we have a very hard time answering in that moment of their suffering. Yet if we look through the Bible, if we read it closely, we find out that suffering is a big part of how God molds us into the men and women he has called us to be. It's not easy, it's never fun, yet when we see it, we know it happens. You know, often when I think of suffering in the Bible, there's one person that really stands out. Job. There's no one else, I believe, in the history who has suffered as much as Job has. Here's a little bit about Job. Job was a faithful man of God. Job was wealthy with a large business in farming and livestock. We know that Job had a large family, and it tells us in chapter 1, verse 2, that he even had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job was referred to in chapter 1 as the greatest man throughout the East. If Job was alive today, he would be a well-respected man inside of our community. He would be a role model for other men to follow. He would have been the type of dad that we would have strived to be as men. He would have been a role model as a father and husband. He'd be an example of what it means to run a business with great ethics. It tells us in verses 4 through 5 that his son used to take turns having banquets at their homes. They would send an invitation to their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Whenever a round of banquet was over, Job would send for his children, purifying them, rising early in the morning to offer burnt offerings for all of them. For Job thought, perhaps my children have sinned, having cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular practice. You see, Job cared so much for his children, so much for God. He had so much respect that he would make sure to do this to keep his family in the right side of God. And that it was bringing honor to God and bringing his children up in the ways of God. Yet Job was like us. Job lived in a fallen world. And because he lived in this fallen world, it means just like us, he is susceptible to the evil and so forth within this world. It tells us in Job 1, 13 through 15, one day when Job's son and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and reported, while the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, the Sabaeans swooped down and took them away. They struck down the servants with a sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Here's a big part of Job's income just whopped away at that very moment, just washed away. In verse 16, it continues. He was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, God's fire fell from the heaven. It burned the sheep and the servants and devoured them, and I alone escaped to tell you. Another big part of his business, gone. Another big part of Job's life, gone. It's still not over. Verse 17 tells us, the messenger was still speaking when yet another came and reported that the Chaldeans formed three bands, made a raid on the camels, and took them away. They struck down the servants with the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. That's it. It's all gone. His entire business, all of his possessions, everything are gone. How many of us would feel completely defeated in that moment? Everything you've worked for, everything you strive for, gone in a blink of an eye. And you would think that's it. It's not. Verse 18 and 19 tells us he was still speaking when another messenger came and reported, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And it continues, suddenly a powerful wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on the young people so that they would die, and I alone have escaped to tell you. I cannot even imagine being him at this moment, how he felt. Here not only did Job lose his wealth and everything he owned, he now lost all his children. There was nothing left. How would you feel? How would you respond at this moment? If God took everything from you, everything you had worked for, your entire family, all of it, in one swoop, and took it away, would you curse God? Would you ask him why? How alone would you feel at that moment? You know, I've heard people over and over in life ask the question, why would God allow any of this to happen to me? Why did I deserve any of this? Anybody here ever asked that question? You don't have to raise your hand. But we know that's not how Job responded. It tells us instead that when he heard all of this, Job stood up, tore his robes, he shaved his head, and he fell down and he worshiped God. Got to be the worst day of his life. Lost everything he had, and he still worshiped God. He didn't complain. He didn't blame God. He worshiped him. It even tells us in verse 21 that he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will leave this life. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it even tells us in verse 22, throughout all this, Job did not sin or blame God for anything. It just amazes me on his response. Let's be honest, often when people come up against difficult times, when our lives don't go the way we want them to, if they don't go the way we expect it to, what do we like to do? We like to blame God for it. You know, when the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years after leaving Egypt, and even though God provided for them the entire 40 years they were there, what'd they do? They complained, they grumbled. But that's not what Job did. He kept his focus on God, and just as we're called to, when we hit those moments when life doesn't make sense, when life doesn't seem fair, and when things just don't seem to be adding up, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus in those moments, and we need to keep worshiping him, remembering that he is the one who brings us comfort. He is the one who brings us joy. He is the one who takes care of us in the middle of our storms. It doesn't matter how dark the moments are, he's going to be the light at the end of the tunnel. And we got to remember, he doesn't make us go through any of this alone. That is one of the beautiful things about being saved. Being here on earth doesn't mean we're not going to have hard times. It means that we have a Savior who walks through this life with us when we have these difficult moments, that we are not alone in the middle of that mess. And when Job thought life could not get any worse, the Bible tells us that, in fact, it got even worse for him. In chapter 2, he was infected with terrible boils. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, he took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself and sat among the ashes. After this, his health failed. And do you know what Job's wife told him after that? Verse chapter 2, verse 9, it says, his wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." You know, when the world sees us still worshiping God in the middle of our storm, they really get confused. They really do not understand how we could do that. They would tell you, curse God and die. If God loved you so much, why would he let you go through this? Yet Job did not curse God or blame God. Instead, he responds to his wife in verse 10, "You speak foolish, woman." He told her, "Should we accept only good from God and not adversity?" Through all of this, Job did not sin in what he said. As time went on, even his close friends started to tell Job what he must have done something to anger God, that he had to have sinned to deserve such punishment. Yet Job stood his ground. And I want you guys to understand, inside the Jewish culture, the Jewish faith, if you were very prosperous, if you had a good life, a good health, and your kids were good, that means that you were very good to God and God was blessing you for it. If for some reason that you were facing trials and tribulations and life wasn't going right, it had to mean that you sinned somewhere and you ticked God off. That's what it has to mean. But that's not how it actually works. But in their minds, so when Job's friends were sitting there and telling him, you had to have done something, there is no other reason. But Job responded in verse 15, even if he kills me, I will hope in him. And he being God, I will still defend my ways before him. He stayed faithful even when his friends were telling him, it's time to not be faithful anymore. Even when his wife said, just give up, Job stayed focused on God. Job's story can be our story. Even though we are men and women of faith, even if we've walked with integrity our entire life, if you've served God faithfully, I want to be very clear about something this morning. You are not immune to suffering here on earth, even if it seems to be for no apparent reason. For some reason, we've got this idea that if we accept Jesus, it's going to be a scotch-free life as we move forward. Everything's going to go completely smoothly, but yet that's not what the Bible tells us. You're not immune. And I know that this morning there are some of you here today that are walking in the middle of that pain and suffering. There are some of you here today that are having situations in your life that you cannot understand why God would allow such bad things to happen in your life. Now, I want to be clear on one thing. I am no way this morning am trying to claim I understand why you're in the middle of your pain. I in no way am trying to tell you exactly why God allowed this to happen, because I don't know. There's no special answer to make the pain go away. There's no real formula for it. to make it all just disappear. But what I do know is that just as Joseph was sold into slavery and imprisoned for a crime he didn't commit, just as Jeremiah was arrested and put into the stocks for speaking about God, just as a man in the New Testament was born blind so that God's glory could be displayed in his life, just as the disciples were thrown into jail and many martyred for their faith in the early church, none of us are immune. But if we trust God, he's going to walk alongside of us the entire time. He will give us that strength in that moment we need it. He will give us that guidance. And we never have to face it alone. When Job was in the middle of his mess, he had no idea on how life would turn out. He knew God was with him because God had preserved his life, even if it wasn't the life that he had imagined. Yet we know that through his suffering, for the first time in Job's life, this is one of the things that stood out to me more than anything else as I'm reading this story. So Job was a man who trusted God, served God, went after God, and it tells us towards the end of Job that for the first time, Job actually heard God. When he was praying, God spoke back to him, and it gave him a deeper relationship with God than he had ever had before. Because Job had nothing left but God. And we know at the end, Job was restored. And he got twice what he had before. And our reward may be here on earth for some of that kind of stuff when we go through suffering. But our reward, our big reward, it's in heaven. That's what we're looking at. We all suffer. The Bible promises that we will see suffering this side of heaven. It's going to happen. We will not go without suffering until we get to see Jesus face to face. Yet somewhere along the lines, as I said earlier, we've got this idea that if we suddenly become Christians, we won't face any suffering. The Bible never says that. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're isolated from the suffering. It tells us in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in the world, but be courageous. I have conquered the world. The best Christian among us will have the same problem as the worst Christian. It will have the same problem as those who don't know Christ. This we know. But it's through these sufferings that God can draw us closer. If we have a chance to hear his voice in ways that we may never have heard it before. It's through our suffering that God's glory can be revealed to the world as well. God showed his glory in the power of the blind man that Jesus healed. God's glory was shown through the death of Lazarus. And it was through our suffering that we learned to love others and comfort them as God has comforted us. It's through our suffering we learn to not just trust in ourselves, but put our full trust in God because we understand that we ourselves cannot do it. What makes our suffering different than the world around us? While we're suffering, we can take comfort in knowing that we're not alone. Jesus tells us that we can lean on him throughout our trials and tribulations. Matthew 11:29 tells us, take my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your soul. It tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your cares on me, because he cares about you. When we are in the middle of our mess in life, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1:3, that the Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We can trust God that he will sustain us while we go through these difficult times. We can trust that we don't have to face any of this alone anymore. That we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter with us. That no matter what we face, he is going to take care of it. Look back at your life. Look at all the times that God has saved you in the midst of those moments. Look at all the times you thought you couldn't carry on anymore and you cried out to God and he carried you through those difficult times. Through those moments you just thought, there's no way I can go another day. I will say this again. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we won't face trials and tribulations in this life. It doesn't mean that things aren't always going to go well. We live in a fallen world, one where the devil seeks to kill, steal, kill, and destroy. When we enter into this difficult time, the question I want you to ask yourself is, how can this time be used to glorify God? How can this moment of difficulty, because this too shall pass, be used for God's glory? How do we respond? You know, there's been moments in life where people have asked, how are you doing? And they're shocked when I show joy in the midst of that pain and suffering. The world around us watches. When we hit those moments of difficulty, the world is watching us to see how we are going to respond who claim to be Christians. Are we going to wallow in self-pity? Or are we going to show God's glory through our actions? By showing the love of Christ and being that light in the midst of even our own storm, because we know we're not alone, that we brought comfort. How many times have you prayed and said, God, give me comfort? And he's offered you a comfort that you cannot understand. The world around us doesn't have that. We have that. That's what makes ours different suffering than theirs, is we have Christ on our side through it all. So the next time that you're facing something, or if you're in the middle of the storm that you're in right now, ask God, how can I use this for your glory? How can I be an example to the rest of the world for you, even in the midst of my storm and the situation that you're facing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity that you gave us to come together to worship and to praise you. Father, I ask that you just guide us this week, that we may look at the storm that we're in, and that we may ask how we can use it to glorify you, how we can show love and mercy through it all. Father, I ask that you be with each one here today that is suffering. Give them comfort. Let them know they're not alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's one thing I was debating on doing, and I feel like we need to do that this morning. I do know there's some of you who are suffering among us, who have different things. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's not. But the Bible says that we as elders of the church are to lay hands and anoint them with oil and to pray for them. So if I could have my elders that are here this morning come on up. And as the last group sings, if you would like to be anointed and prayed over by the elders, I want to invite you to come up front, and we will gladly do that during that time.
Jesus, we just want to thank you.
so good. As we go out this week, may his light just shine on each of you. May you just seek him in all that you do. And may God become more real in your everyday life than it has ever been before. God bless you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.